I have received all of your messages, but I cannot discuss any questions on the quiz tonight because the quiz is still open until tomorrow night at 11:59. So we will have to wait until, it'll be 2 weeks from tonight, before I can answer any questions about quiz number 7. This is the first time this has ever happened to me, by the way. Normally I do my little quiz questions and, you know, everything is just fine. This year, I seem to have a lot of questions about the questions, the wording of the questions. And in the beginning, I was very apologetic. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. On and on and on and on. And then I'm beginning to see this as a pattern. And I said, God is doing something. He's trying to say something. Not just to me, but also to you as students. I'm hoping my online students are listening. We are at another level.
Amen.
This is no longer elementary school. What I'm going to suggest, how many of you pray before you take a practice or a quiz? Or how many of you pray before you take the exam?
Amen.
Years ago, I mean, this happened to me when I was in elementary school. I was given like a little pop quiz of some sort. And I had no idea, first of all, what they were asking and what it was all about. But as a little girl, I can remember praying and asking God to help me. Well, I made 100. I was astonished. The teacher was astonished. And I never knew what happened. You know, how did I do that? How did I know that? But it taught me something. From that point on, I knew to go to God every time I was confronted with an exam or a quiz such as that. And then what started happening, you know, God started preparing me ahead of time.
Yes.
You know, and I'd come to class and the teacher would give a pop quiz and I'd make 100 and maybe one other person might make a B or something like that. And she says, I don't know. How did you know? I said, well, I don't know, but it was just something in me, you know, just from that point. I mean, and it started when I was just a little girl. So I guess what I'm saying to everybody who had a question, we're at another level. I said that. God has taken us higher. If you've got a question about a question, consult the Holy Ghost. That's what you're learning in this class. Always acknowledge the Holy Ghost, always invite the Holy Ghost, always ask him to help you. He knew what was in my mind before I even wrote the question. And then he'll reveal it to you if you ask him. Amen. Amen. All right. So in 2 weeks, y'all just remind me to answer the question. And I have an answer too. I have an answer. I want y'all to know the Holy Ghost is really helping me. You know, I'm having to put into practice exactly what I'm telling y'all to do. He is helping me. And it's like I was sitting up there, you know, after I finished reading all of the messages, and it's like, what to do? What happened here? And he said, that's the answer. I said, I got it. Amen. All right. The other thing, on last week, someone asked a question about scriptures to pray for your pastor. Mm-hmm. What I want us to do tonight, we're going to look at a few scriptures. I'm going to give you a list of scriptures that we have used over the years in praying for apostle. We won't read all of these tonight, but we will read about 3 or 4. And then what I want us to do is to lift up, first of all, your pastor, your bishop, your apostle, your prophet. We're going to pray for them tonight. And we're going to pray for the entire fivefold ministry. Amen. What I want you to do right now, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, because we have to understand who they are and why God has given them to us as gifts. Amen. They are gifts to us. I mean, when we begin to look at our pastor and our apostle as a gift, you know, it takes on a whole nother connotation. You begin to honor them. You begin to appreciate them even more. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I don't know, I have been looking at verse 8 here lately. But we pray Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 in our corporate prayer. But in verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Do you see that? So, you know, this verse is just telling us that when Jesus had defeated the enemy for us, you know, that's all it is. When he had defeated, when he had, you know, paid the price, and over in Colossians, I think it's 2 and 15, he says he spoiled principalities. And he made a show of them openly in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and in his ascension. He made a show of our enemy openly. So that's what that leading captivity captive, that's what that means. And then he turned around after he had done all of this for us. And then he gave gifts unto men. Amen. In verse 11, you know, we're going to go from 8 to 11. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting or the maturing. Remember, that word perfecting doesn't mean without any faults or blemishes. No, it means to complete or to mature. For the maturing of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be edified. Amen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen? Amen. You got that? So now we understand, you know, why we have a pastor, why we have an apostle, why we have a prophet. It's so that we can mature. And, you know, Jesus did all of that for us. Amen. And we don't want it to be in vain. So he said, I'm going to give them some gifts that's going to teach them and that's going to help them, mature them, so that they can go ahead and walk in all the blessings that I bought for them with my own blood. Amen. 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 All right. You can write these down and then we'll go back and we'll decide which ones. I think I only have like about four of them that we're going to read. Mr. Bounds gave us Romans 15, 30, and 31. So that one is in your book. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for our pastor, our apostle, you know, whoever it is, our bishop, whoever you're praying for, that utterance may be given unto them, that they may open their mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. These are just some of the ones that we have prayed over the years. Amen. Now, this is one that we still pray occasionally. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. For our gospel came not unto us in word only, Amen. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Amen. So you got to say, I know what manner of man my apostle, my pastor, my bishop is among us. For what? For our sake. Amen. And what we want them to do, we want them to minister in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Am I helping you? Amen. Amen. All right. The other one that we pray, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. You can just write these down. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Amen. So then we say, well, Lord, we pray for free course to be given to your spirit and free course to your word, and that your word will be glorified as our pastor, apostle, ministers. Amen. Bishop, I don't want to leave anybody out. Then the other one we pray occasionally is Psalm 92:10. And that's for a fresh anointing. Amen. You want your pastor to have a fresh anointing when he comes to minister. Psalm 92:10. Let's see. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. You see that? Fresh oil. Okay, you can just write this one down. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon our pastor because he has anointed him. You see? And you just go on and on and on. And so then you read that, and then you begin to pray in the Spirit for your pastor. Amen? And then Isaiah 11:2-3. Now, we don't pray this one much anymore, but over the years we have. Isaiah 11:2-3. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. You can say upon my pastor. Amen. You can call his or her name. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him or her of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he or she shall not judge after the sight of their eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of their ears. Amen? Amen. Amen. So these are just some of the scriptures in answer to the question, what scriptures do y'all use, you know, to pray for your pastor? So right now, all we want to look at Ephesians 6:18-20. Amen. And then we're going to pray. Amen. Amen. I haven't used that much time already. I know not. I know I haven't used that much time already. Huh? That's not right. I know that's not right. Amen. Ephesians 6, I'm sorry, 18-20. Ready? Let's read. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for our pastor. You can, wait, hold on. You can pray for yourself also, okay? You can pray for yourself. But right now, we want to focus on your pastor, your apostle, your whoever's over you. Amen? Amen. Okay. And for? All right. That utterance may be given unto them, that they may open their mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which they are ambassadors in bonds. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And then we're going to just pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Ready? Let's read. word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of they are among us for our sake. Amen. Amen. Now, remember last week also, we looked at Zechariah 3, and we saw how Satan was there to resist the high priest. Amen. He was standing right there to resist him. Amen. And so this is another reason why we have to pray for our men and our women of God. Yes. Because Satan is trying to stop them, block them from achieving the vision, yes, that God has given to them for the body of Christ. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. And we're going to thank God for him. Thank God for your pastor. Online students, I need you to join in with us. I know we have pastors probably who are also watching, so you're praying for yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, just thanking you, Lord God, for the fivefold ministry. Lord God, we especially thank you tonight. Thanking you for our apostle, Lord God. Thanking you, Lord God, for every prophet, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just lift them up, Lord God, before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that they are anointed with fresh anointings, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that they minister your word, Father, in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. We thank you, Lord God, that you continually, Lord God, give them good utterance from the Holy Ghost, that they may speak forth your word boldly and accurately, Lord God, as they ought to speak. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we plead. We plead the blood of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah. Over every pastor, Lord. Every pastor, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We plead the blood, Lord God, over our apostle. Thank you for him, Lord God. Thank you for him. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the manifestation. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Holy Ghost. You're here, Lord God. You're here. Lord, we appreciate him. You're here. And we receive them, Lord God, as gifts from you, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Oh, my. Fresh anointings, Lord. You're here, Lord God. Thank you for him, Lord. Lord. Oh, my. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, my. Thank you for the visions, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, that you've given to him, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. You're here, Lord God. No weapon. Hallelujah. Formed against them shall prosper, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Mama mind, Ololonda Rabakashin de Bede. You're here, Lord God. Lord God, it's for our sake, Lord God. Glory to God, it's for our sake, Lord. Thank you. You're here, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the unity of the faith, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. You share it, Bahaha. Oh, my. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Alala Mahashandara Bakaha. Alala Mahalala Kandara Mahia. Alala Mahanara Mahiri Misandara Bakaya. You hear, Lord God. Alignment, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Alala Mahashandara Bakaya. You hear, Lord God. Yes, discernment, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Ere Bahashatandara Bakaha. Alalanda Rebede. Alalanda Rebede. Glory to God. Alala Hashandara Bakaya Yahaya. Alala Mahanara Bahiri Misandara Bakaya. You hear, Lord God. Alala Mahalala Kandara Maya Salala Kindara Bakaya. Alala Mahalala Kandara Maya Salala Kindara Bakaha. Mama Andere Bede Dede. Mama Andere Behi, Lord God. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate your gifts. Amen. Amen. Honor your gifts. Love your gifts. Hallelujah. There are a couple of things. I did not want to go into another chapter because I knew we wouldn't be able to finish it tonight, and then next week is Prosperity Revival. So there were some things I hurried through my notes last week from the chapter on spiritual warfare. So what I want to do, I want to go back over that. And remember, that's book 2, chapter 11. We were looking at and talking about Mr. Bound's statement about us praying, you know, for our pastor. Remember that? And he showed us how Paul was asking them to pray for him, that he may be delivered from them that did not believe. Amen. And so I decided that we would just go ahead and we would pick up from there, because there were some very, very important things that I think I may have left out last week. I remember, you know, talking to you about that. We didn't talk a whole lot about the armor of God. Our foundational scripture for this lesson was Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. And in there, you know, Paul writes about the armor of God. You can just turn. I don't know if we're going to read it. Let's just turn to Ephesians 6. You know, he starts off, finally, brethren. Remember that? But Mr. Bounds makes it a point to let us know. And I'm going to tell y'all what I wrote down. This was too funny even to me. He was talking about the armor. You know, some people think, oh, I'm going to just put my armor on. You know, I'm going to put my armor on. You can't just put the armor on. You still have to pray. Amen? I wrote down, you know, to just think that you can just put your armor on. And we're gonna look at it. Well, I'll look at it. Verses 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Here we go. This is the armor. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we see the armor. And then he says, praying always. You know, you can't just have the armor. Amen. Verse 18, praying always. So you put the armor on, but you still got to pray. What I wrote down, let me see how Mr. Bounds said it. He says, the armor is needed for defense, and added prayer crowns the entire army. I had some other things in there. I'll find them. And then I wrote, all dressed up in your armor. Think about that. All dressed up, nowhere to go. and nothing to do if you don't pray. Amen. Amen. You got your arm on. You didn't strap it on. But if you're not praying, what you doing? Amen. And remember, Mr. Bounds, he made it a point to let us know that we're in an army and that we're in a fight. Amen. This is warfare. He says our enemy, he never sleeps. Never sleeps. And that he's always trying to find ways to stop us, to block us, to keep us from walking in our purpose and in the destiny that God has ordained for us. Amen. So we have to be, he uses words like vigilant. We have to be vigilant. And then we went over being watchful. Remember how I told you about being watchful. He says the soldier must pray in the spirit. Let me see. Prayer and supplication must supplement the armor. The Holy Spirit must aid the supplication. Remember, that's what we've been learning in this class. Always acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Always ask him to help you. He must aid the supplication with his own strenuous plea, and the soldier must pray in the spirit, and I put in tongues. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're not praying just for ourselves. Now, I'm not saying you don't pray for yourself. You got to pray for yourself. Amen? Because sometimes if you don't, nobody else will. Nobody else know how to. Amen? You got to pray for yourself. But he says, it's not all about us. He says the battle is not altogether a personal matter. Victory cannot be achieved for self alone. You know, you're the only one winning. Amen. No. He says not for yourself alone. He said the cause, these are the things that he wants us to pray about. The cause of God. He wants us to pray for the saints, for their woes and their trials, for their duties and their crosses. All of these things should find a pleading voice in the Christian soldier when he prays. He says, nothing dries up spiritual blessings so certainly and completely. And I think I read this. Nothing poisons the fountain of the spiritual life so effectively. And nothing acts in such deadly fashion as selfish praying. Praying only for yourself. Amen. Think about it as the whole army of God. We want to pray for the entire army. We all want to win. Amen? The Christian armor that we just read will avail him nothing unless prayer is added. That's what I just told you. Prayer is all important and essential to victory. The Christian soldier, Mr. Bounds, our author says, is compelled to constant guard duty. He is faced by a foe who never sleeps, who's always alert, and who is ever prepared to take advantage of the fortunes of war. That's when he tells us about watchfulness. And then I think I shared with you Matthew 26:41. I don't think we read it. I think I just told it to you. But let me read it to you. In Matthew 26:41, it talks about not entering into temptation. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. I like this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? That's Matthew 26:41. And then we looked at some of the definitions of watchfulness. I don't know if you remember that from last week. He says, watchfulness intensified is a necessity for prayer. Watchfulness must guard and cover the whole spiritual man and prepare him for prayer. Everything resembling unpreparedness or non-vigilance is death to prayer. Amen. Isn't that something? You're not prepared. You're not prepared. So, you know, your prayers are dying because you're not prepared to pray. You're not watchful. You're not vigilant. Amen. Sleepless alertness is the price one must pay for victory over his spiritual foes. Rest assured, and he says it again, the devil never falls asleep. He ever walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And, you know, that's the verse that says that he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So that means he can't devour everybody, huh? He can't devour everybody, but he's looking. Yeah. He's on his job, and so we have to be on our job. The inseparable companions and safeguards of prayer are vigilance and watchfulness. Amen. Vigilance and watchfulness. And then again, over in Colossians 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. God's church is a militant host. Its warfare is with unseen forces of evil. God's people compose an army, and this is why we're fighting. We're fighting to establish God's kingdom in the earth. Amen. And we know that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, according to Romans 14 and 17. Amen. He says, our aim, you know, this army of God, our aim is to destroy the sovereignty of Satan and over its ruins and erect the kingdom of God. Amen. The armor of God is needed for defense. And again, added prayer crowns the entire army. The entire life of a Christian soldier, its being, its intention, its implication, and action are all dependent on its being a life of prayer. Without prayer, no matter what else he has, amen, no matter what else he has, the Christian soldier's life will be feeble and ineffective, amen. See, this is how important prayer is, and I think this has been one of the, I don't want to say missing links. I don't think we have fully understood why we need to pray and to pray. You know, it's one thing to know you need to pray, and it's another thing to pray. You know, that's why I always encourage, you know, every class, go ahead and pray. Put into practice. Apostle drills us on. He says, I'm ministering, or I'm teaching, or I'm preaching for education. I want you to be able to apply this to your life. Don't just come here and listen to what Mr. Bound say and some of the things that I share with you and say, oh, yeah, that's good. No, go ahead. Like I told you, when you're taking your quizzes, when you're taking your exams, ask the Spirit to help you. I mean, make it a point. Do it on purpose. You know, just do it on purpose. See, help me. Because what you're doing, you're building your faith, you're building your confidence in your own ability to pray. Amen. The more you pray and get an answer, the more bolder you're going to become, the more confident you're going to become, then you're going to start believing, you know, what the Bible says, that whatever I say, amen, I can have whatever I say, you know, because that's the way God has set it up. That's the way Jesus did it. Amen. See, Jesus knew. He knew that the Father heard him. He says, I know you always hear me when I pray, you know. And so we have to get to that point to know that God always hears us when we pray. And it's going to take prayer. And it takes much prayer, much. I can't stress that enough. It takes much prayer. Amen. The entire life of a Christian soldier is being intention, implication, and action are all dependent on it being a life of prayer. You know, I always share about Apostle, you know. You know, Apostle is a prayer. He is a prayer. I mean, he saturates everything with prayer. He prays long hours. Amen? Amen. He's a prayer. Without prayer, no matter what else he has, talking about the Christian soldier, his life will be feeble and ineffective without prayer. Without prayer, and I remember sharing this with you last week, he's an easy prey. You know, you understand? A P-R-E-Y. P-R-E-Y, pray. See, because as the devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour, he's looking for the person who's not praying. Remember I told you that there are some people who think that prayer is only for when you're in trouble. No. Praying always. Go back to our text. Praying always. with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying, we always have to pray. Amen? Because we don't want to be a prey. He's coming. Amen? You know, we don't have to call him or nothing like that. He's looking for us. Amen. Easy prey for his spiritual enemies. Without prayer, he's talking about all of this. Without prayer, the Christian graces will wither and die. Isn't that something? Without prayer, we may add, oh, Lord, look, he say, preaching is futile and fruitless without prayer. Why? Why is that? Can you see it? Can y'all see it? I mean, the man of God is all anointed, and he's up there, and he's just preaching. He has prayed, or she, he or she has prayed, and they're ready. But, I mean, you sitting up there, you, you can't receive. Why? Because you haven't prayed. Your spirit man needs to be built up to receive, you know, what your man or woman of God is teaching and preaching. Amen? And if it's not, and this is what's happening to us. I mean, you know, and you know, Apostle will tell us, y'all not getting this. Y'all not getting this. Y'all, I don't think y'all getting this. I want y'all to get this. And he really, his desire is for us to walk in everything that he is teaching us. Amen? He wants us to live it. But we have to be prayed up. No, we're not going to, I don't think we're going to be at his level. I mean, you know, amen. he has saturated himself, and he is ready. There are times I've come, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'll admit it. It just goes. But I've learned. I put it on the shelf. Amen. I say, I can't receive this right now. Amen. But then I put it on, and then I go back to it. And man, and when I get it, I got it. Amen. That's what I've learned, you know, over the years. I mean, I was a Baptist girl, came from a very, very traditional Baptist church. They loved God. They had a zeal for God, but they didn't have any knowledge. Amen. So came from. So when I first came here, I mean, it was almost every Sunday. It was like, what, you know, and I just have to sit there. And that's one thing when we sit. And, you know, finally I had to tell the Lord, I said, you sent me here. Amen. You know, I said, you sent me here. And I need to fit in. You know, I need to be able to receive. And do you know he heard me?
Amen.
And you know, I mean, that was a move one morning. And he, you know, I don't know if I ever told y'all. I told me I've told some of you. And I heard the word stand. I didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost at that time, you know. And that he would talk to me, stand. So I stood up, you know. I didn't know Ephesians chapter 6. I didn't know that. And when I stood up, and then it's like, open your eyes. Everybody in the congregation was standing. And he was showing me that I was a part of it.
Amen.
There was a flow that morning, and I was a part. And I said, okay, thank you, Lord. Because I knew, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to be all right. In other words, he was telling me, you know, you're going to be all right, you know, because when you come into a church like this, you know, you think, man, these people, they're strong. They know the Bible. You know, and you know, here you come, it's like, oh, I know our Father. I know our Father. That's what I knew. Amen. Amen. But you got to be willing. You got to be obedient. You got to be teachable. Amen. And you got to have a hunger for the God. You know, ask him to give you that hunger. Amen. He said, you know, he told us, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled, right? Amen. So you just tell him, give me that hunger. Ask the Holy Spirit, give me that hunger and that thirst for more of God. And there's always more of him. We can all pray it all the time. No matter how much of him we receive, it's always going to be more that we can receive. Amen. So I think I've touched on everything that I needed to touch on in this chapter, and then we'll go to a new chapter when we return. Amen?
Amen?
I'll see y'all at Prosperity Revival. Be blessed. Amen.